Hi everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
Good morning. So I'm gonna be that person and ask you guys to move up. I'm so not sorry. But we're family, so be closer. I asked, who was here last night for worship? Aren't these guys awesome? So I asked them to play behind me this morning because I just think worship music sets such a beautiful atmosphere. So I wanted to keep it going from prayer. This morning, the Holy Spirit told me that even though it's the first session, that we are going deep fast because we don't have time. And, well, we don't have time today, but we don't have time. We think we have tomorrow. We think we have 5 years, but we don't have time. The people around us don't have time. And when Kevin and I went on our first date, it was 6 hours long, and we went to Starbucks and we just started sharing all of the deep things that happened in our lives. We didn't waste any time. Yes, we were like, what's your favorite color? But I was like, this is my past. These are the things that I screwed up in. This is how I found Jesus. He shared the same thing. We didn't waste time. I had already been married and divorced, and I had a kid. And I was like, ain't no time. I got no time for this. And we dove in very quickly in conversation. And I very much feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do that today, that we're going to dive in deep in conversation with the Holy Spirit about what he wants to do this weekend and how it's going to overflow into your life. So the portion of scripture that we're really focusing and you're going to be so smothered in this scripture, you're going to love it, is Ezekiel 37. And I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. So if you are a visual, then please look it up on your phone. If you're an audible, then listen with your ears, close your eyes, do whatever you want to do. Don't fall asleep. So this is the Valley of Dry Bones. Verse 1. Yahweh's powerful presence was upon me. And his spirit lifted me up and carried me away. He set me down in the middle of a valley floor, and that was covered with countless bones. He made me walk all around the valley among all the vast piles of bones. There in the valley that were very many, very dry bones. Yahweh asked me, "Son of man, can these bones come back to life again?" And I replied, "Lord Yahweh, you are the only one who knows." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over those dry bones. Prophesy these words, dry bones. Hear what Yahweh says. Lord Yahweh says to you, I am now going to breathe into you and you will live again. I will attach muscles and sinews to you. I will make flesh grow on you. I will cover you with skin. I am going to breathe into you. And then you will live again, and you will know that I am Yahweh. So dead bones are white. And I was thinking about this. I've never seen anything that's dry and dead that would be a positive thing. So I will take that. And white has, all the colors have prophetic definitions. They have a positive and a negative. And the negatives of white represent a religious spirit, witchcraft, and unimaginative. The positives of white are love, Holy Spirit, angels, purity, light, holiness, righteousness, bride of Christ, triumph, victory in conflict, and success. So notice that the positives very much outweigh the negative. However, religious spirit, witchcraft, and unimaginativeness can very much feel heavy and like it is a deception that it's overtaking the positives. But today, my hope is that you feel encouraged in your gut of your spirit to the root, the deepest place of you, that you would so much focus on the positives that you would believe that more than the hindrances of the negative. So there are a couple bone diseases. Okay, I went to like bone school for like Google for a day. There's osteoporosis and osteonecrosis. Osteoporosis, I know, fun facts. Osteoporosis is when the bones are brittle and weak because they do not have enough nutrients. Osteonecrosis is when the bones start to die because they do not have a blood supply. So too many of us are walking around and the deep bones in us are dying because we've either not been connected to the blood supply or because we are not having nutrients. So verse 6, it says, I will attach muscles and sinews to you. I will make flesh grow on you. I will cover you with skin. I am going to breathe into you and you will live again, and then you will know that I am Yahweh. So when I was reading this scripture, the Holy Spirit said, you know, there's layers to wholeness, which I knew. But then I go look at this scripture and he very much spells it out for you. I will attach muscles and sinews to you. There's your first layer. Your second layer is that I'm going to make flesh grow on you. Did you know that flesh and skin are not the same thing? See, I thought they were the same thing. And then, Google will show you they are not the same thing. And then I'll cover, so he's going to put flesh, then he's going to put the skin on. And then you think, oh yeah, I'm good. But see, he has to breathe life into you. And many of us, I was going to bring pictures and pass them around. I thought that's just silly. I'm sure we've all seen what a skeletal image looks like. Okay? Layer one. Then you know what muscles and sinew hypothetically look like. You don't got to like spell it out for me. We're not having science class. And then the tissue and the muscles. And he said so many people think that they're walking around in wholeness and they are just muscles and creepy eyeballs. And they have no skin on them. They have no skin. And I would be so bold to say that if that's you, that I would think you actually, if you feel like you struggle with vulnerability, it's because you don't have your skin on. And there isn't any shame in going through the steps of wholeness. Because if we don't go through the steps of wholeness, how the heck are you gonna get whole? And it's okay that one person is on that layer and one person's on that layer. And it's okay if someone is in their full wholeness. Amen, hallelujah to them. because then they should be speaking their testimony and overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you should be sharing with other people, this is what I did. Not because it's a formula, but because it stirs hope and courage. And we have got to stop telling people, oh, life's so hard. Once you accept Jesus, it's really hard. It is hard, but guess what? Greater things he's going to do through me. I am a child of God, and so I get the authority, and whatever Jesus did, I get to do, and I get to speak life and encouragement and hope and positivity. And that should be how we show Jesus to people. We should be showing before we're telling. So another thing he showed me with this whole bone thing, we're not going to stay on this all day, but he showed me that once you get to the next level, you can't go back. So then he said so many things. It was so fun. He said, you can have a memory, but that doesn't mean it's a reflection. You can have a memory. I know, isn't that good? You can have a memory, but it doesn't mean it's a reflection. And people and the enemy will try to say, because that's a problem, that's who you are. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. We have memories because we're humans. So you can have a memory of a person, of a moment, of trauma, of relationship, but it is not a reflection of who you are in Jesus. And it is not a reflection of your original intent. So notice that in the scripture, who's doing the healing? It says, I will. And a lot of times we think I have to do it, and we need to switch our eyes. You need to switch your eyes, and you need to switch your eyes. So it says, I will, I will, I will. I know, they're just... I will, I will, I will. And then it says, you will. Notice that the you will comes after the I will. And too many times we get our wholeness flipped around and we think, I just got to do, I just got to do, I just got to do. But you have to surrender and be still. And a lot of times we think dead bones, well, they're just laying still. But you can be dead and not surrendered. You can be still and not surrendered. It comes to a heart posture. It comes to a hunger. It comes to a desperation of realizing and recognizing what layer that you need healing in, what layer you need a transformation in, what layer. And sometimes the tricky thing is sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So I wasn't planning on talking about this. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But in October, I went through a deliverance session. And in it, it came out that I had soul ties from my biological dad, who I've never met. And it was through the Hawaiian heritage. I never knew that. I knew I was Hawaiian. I knew I had a biological dad that I've never met. But because I didn't know what I didn't know, there actually was a lot of root stuff that happened over there. And so we had to sever it. Now, I'm not saying y'all got secret things you don't know, but I am saying that there does come times where if you keep having the same problem about something and you feel like you've really worked it out with Jesus, but it keeps happening, then you probably have a root somewhere that you got to go find and ask and get help. Because so many times we just think, well, this layer's fine. This is good. But Jesus doesn't want you to just be good. He wants you to be whole in all that means for you. From here, from here, from here, from here. And all the flesh and all the muscle and your skin. So this pastor, I love this. I don't know who he is, but his name's Pastor Doug Batchelor. And he said, if you were the first to the scene of an accident and you saw somebody lying motionless on the ground, you might think, perhaps there's hope. You would probably even do a little CPR and try to revive the person. But if you saw a skeleton lying in the road, you wouldn't even consider giving it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You'd think, it's just dead bones, there's no hope. And I'm here today to tell you that whatever feels impossible for you to overcome, that today as we dig deep and we go serious fast with Jesus, that it is absolutely possible for you to get and pursue and receive wholeness today in Jesus' name. So, back to scripture, Ezekiel 37, verse 7. This is when the bones come together. So as I prophesied, as I had been told, obedience is very key in your process of wholeness. And as I was prophesying, I began to hear a commotion. Behold, it was the clattering of those many skeletons coming together, bone to bone. And as I kept watching, muscles and sinews miraculously appeared. Everyone say miraculously. Flesh grew on the bones, and then skin wrapped completely around them. First of all, this is not a normal scene. Okay? Sometimes your wholeness is not going to look like the normal scene. When we think that's how their story happened and it's similar to ours, we think that's normal, so mine needs to be normal like that. And sometimes the people around us think it should look a certain way and a normal way to them. Jesus is what makes it normal for you. So flesh grew on the bones, the skin wrapped completely around them, yet there was still no life breath in them. Then Yahweh said to me, prophesy to the breath. Yes, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, Lord Yahweh says, divine breath, come now from the four winds, breathe on these lifeless bodies so that they can live again. So I prophesied as he had told me, and the breath entered their bodies. They came alive, got up from the ground and stood to their feet, a very great, immense army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the entire house of Israel. They keep saying, we are as dry as these dead bones. Our nation has been completely destroyed. And we have lost all hope. So prophesy to them. Lord Yahweh says to you, behold, I am now going to open your graves, my people. I will resurrect you out of your graves and lead you home to the land of Israel. And when I open your graves, and when I raise you up, then my people, you will be convinced that I am Yahweh, and I will put my Holy Spirit within you, and you will live again. I will resettle you on your own soil. Then you will know that it is I, Yahweh, who spoke to you, and I do what I say. I, Lord Yahweh, have spoken. So even if you are not from Israel in the natural, you are Israel. You are the chosen people that God has chosen. And your original intent is to be whole. Your original intent is to be disciples, to make disciples. Your original intent is to give, is to use the supply, the giftings, the callings, the testimonies, to share them with the body. I was just talking to someone, this wonderful man helped Kevin last night in sound, and he was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me get to be a part. I loved it. I love that I get to be and use my giftings. And I said, absolutely. That's what we should be doing. We should be honored. We should be joyful. We should be excited. We should feel the pleasure of the Lord when you get to operate in who you're supposed to be. And sometimes people think, well, I don't really know what it is, but I think you know what it is. It's the things that make you feel joy when you do them. And you can always grow. in your giftings. Rhema wants to grow and be on the worship team. We'll talk about that later. But I love Rhema. Who loves Rhema? Yes, she's amazing. So being the land of Israel is your original intent. And I love the part that it says, when I open your grave. That alone, the word when implies hope. It doesn't say if I open your grave. It says when. What's that? There's like a country movie that says, say when. I don't know. That's all I remember. But Tombstone, yes. That's the only part I remember. So don't stone me if it's a bad movie, okay? It's, I just remember that part. The other part that I really wanted to focus on is the word resettle. Resettle means to become settled again or become anew as after disturbance or upheaval. I'm going to read it again. Resettle, to become settled again or anew as after a disturbance or an upheaval. Many of us have had an upheaval and now we have settled. This is just how it's always going to be. This is always going to be my struggle. This is how it's going to be in my marriage. This is how it's going to be with my kids. This is going to be how it is with my friends, is at my job, blah, 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 blah. But God wants to resettle you. Resettle you. And I very, I'm going to be really brave about this in obedience, but when we were praying about the conference and I was praying about this teaching, I felt like if you are not married, I don't care if you're dating someone. Dating someone and being married are two different things. If you are single and your heart is to be married, to think about what resettling means. Because sometimes we settle because we think that that is the best we can do. But God wants to resettle because he wants to give you your heart's desire in a spouse. So I'm not saying the person you're with is or is not your spouse. What I am saying is that when you prophesy to the breath of who your spouse should be, that you prophesy to, I see that I'm going to do ministry with them in Jesus' name. I see that we're going to live our lives on the same page spiritually. I see that we're going to operate our household in the same way, that our hearts will be intertwined, that we don't necessarily have to like the same things, but our heart and passion will be Jesus, and that's the same thing. I pray that their love language, that I would be a good steward of their love language, and that they would be a good steward of my love language. You prophesy those things into the spouse that you want. Because too often we are settling and then people get divorced, and I've been divorced, but I can say I knew I wasn't supposed to get married the first time. I did it out of fear. And the thing I was afraid of ended up happening anyways. So there's no shame. Jesus, the reason things are sin is because Jesus wants better for you. These things are not good for you. So the world tries to go, well, you sin, so boo on you. And it's like, no, Jesus says, I forgave you for that. So come up here, be resettled up here, and start living in your original intent and in your calling that I have asked and I want for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionedlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.